Welcome to Sunday morning teaching from Canaan Land Church in Grove City with Pastor Sean. We're so glad you've joined us today. Now, let's open our Bibles and study God's Word together.
Isaiah 53, you have your Bibles this morning. This morning I want to talk to you about how to pray for the lost. And over the past, I would say safely, 2.5 to 3 years, I've been going back and looking at not just the size of a church or a denomination of a church, but what is going on in the local church. Doesn't matter if there's 100 or 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000. Doesn't matter the denomination. There are parallels. There are things happening despite your affiliation to an association or anything that is going on in church. And this is one of those things that struck me about a year ago. That we do not, now think of this, Christians do not consistently pray for the lost. And that's sad. That's sad. But God laid this on my heart. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I have two questions for you today. And the first question, I have four answers or four responses to that. Then the second question, I have five responses to that. So if you amen me, we'll get through this thing at about 3 o'clock. But I want to share with you, and God had burdened me this week, and He's burdened me about a lot of things the past month or two. I say in a good way, and it's a good thing to not only see our church growing, but it's also good to know what direction the Lord wants us to go within this community. Would you agree with that? And we are responsible as a church to do the things that God has called us to do. But Isaiah 53, verse 12, I want you to listen to what Isaiah says concerning the Messiah. He says, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many." That's shouting ground. But look at this here. He said, "and made intercession for the transgressors." As I told you before, there's a huge problem that's trending in church. The problem is that most Christians, when they come to church, they act like self-absorbed club members rather than people trying to lead people or rescuers for the Lord. And I want you to listen to this closely. This church isn't a clubhouse. Amen? I hope that if you can't amen anything else, you can amen to the fact that we are not your social club here. But we are a rescue station. And we need to have the attitude of the revivalist George Whitefield when he said this, "Oh Lord, give me souls or take my soul." Let me ask you this morning, are you acting more like a club member than a part of a rescue team? Do you come in, and I think that's the amazing thing that shook up about the C word, COVID. People that used to be here aren't anymore. And some people have to deal with either making new friends and putting themselves out there or saying, "Where did my buddy go?" If that's you, you were part of a social club. But I want you to know this, at Canaan Land Church, we want to welcome a visitor. We want to welcome those who are not saved. And we want them to hear the clear gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we get here, that's the question we have to ask. This morning, do you act like a club member sometimes? Or are you part of the rescue team? See, passionately we need to be serving and earnestly praying each and every day, but because your true desire should be for other people to know Jesus Christ. So understand, I'm telling you, 100 years from today, nothing else will matter on this earth except for what we did for the Lord Jesus Christ, Christian. Do you know it won't matter in heaven when you get there? You're not going to tell someone else in heaven where you went to high school.
They're not going to care what your job was on earth. It won't matter how much money you made. The only thing that will matter, that will forever be with you and I, is who and who is not with you in heaven. Child of God, when you're in heaven, I believe when I'm in heaven, I believe when we get there, we're going to wish we spent more time talking to people about Jesus on earth. Nothing, I'm telling you, else matters in this world other than leading someone to Jesus Christ. Do you desperately want to see lost people saved this morning? I heard about five of you. Do you care about lost people? I'm concerned about lost people, but I'm concerned that if we come in and, oh, camp meeting was great, and I'm a member of this club now because that was a great camp meeting. If you go to this church because we had a good camp meeting, you're here for the wrong reasons. You say, what do you mean by lost people, Sean? Maybe there's someone that's never accepted Christ, and they're saying, what do you mean by lost? Well, you can use any term you want. You can use lost, unsaved, a non-believer, whatever you want. Listen, it is someone who is yet to experience the inward working of the saving power of Jesus Christ, that when they say no to sin anymore and say, I'm a sinner and I need you, Lord, as Savior, how many can say amen to this? It is a life-altering, life-changing transformation. Now this word lost, it isn't offensive. Jesus said himself in the Bible, I've come to seek and to save that which was what? Lost. The prodigal son's coming home. The father runs out and meets him, hugs him, kisses him. And he says, my son was dead and now is alive. He was what? Lost, but thank God he's found. A lost person is simply someone who doesn't know the way or has yet to accept Jesus Christ, the only way for salvation. So if you're lost here today, I want you to understand something. If you're watching this now or later, if you are not saved, you are not my enemy. And I'm saying that because next month, I'm going to preach on some topics that many won't say amen to. You know why? Because we have someone living in that particular sin and we want to get quiet about it. But you're not my enemy. You're not my enemy. You're not more than me. You're not less than me. Listen, being lost is not a degrading term. It is a state that you are in. Just means that you're precious to the Lord, and He wants you to accept Him. He wants you to be saved. Just means that you're lost in sin. That you're separated from the Lord and you need rescued. Rescued from what? Here's a term we don't hear anymore. Eternity in hell. So if you're lost, hear me. You do not need a pious club member in church sitting next to you. No, you need a bold rescuer that will point you to Jesus Christ, to tell you how to get out of the fire that you're headed to. And listen, if you're saved, my question to you is, which are you? A club member of Canaan Land or part of the rescue brigade at Canaan Land? Let me tell you something. This is why this message is so important. Because most Christians, as I told you, do not regularly pray on a regular, consistent basis for people to be saved. They just don't. And I can tell you why. It's scary. Because we believe like a Christian, but we walk around living like a universalist. And you may say, Sean, what's a universalist? It is one who believes that everyone, everywhere is going to heaven, no matter what. That is not biblical. Listen, the truth is this. If you truly believed that the people you live with in your home or that you live around or the people that you love will spend forever separated from the Lord Jesus Christ in a horrendous place called hell, you would act different. Amen? There would be nothing more important to us than figuring out a way to get them to Jesus Christ. Can you say amen there? The reality is this. We may believe that truth in our heads, but we have yet to really believe it in our heart. So this is how this sermon's going to play out, I told you. Two questions. Four responses to the first question, five to the last. Question number one is this. Why pray for the lost? Is it biblical? Is it necessary? Is it helpful? Does it really make a difference, Sean? Because God is omniscient. He already knows what's going to happen. The answer is yes to every one of those questions. Yes, it is important to pray for the lost. And there's four good reasons. Reason number one is because Jesus did. That should be enough right there. I shouldn't have to say another point. We pray for the lost because Christ himself prayed for the lost. And it's in the verse, the last part that we read. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Listen, Jesus as God in the flesh prayed to the Father for lost people to be saved. So what did Jesus say his mission was? I told you, to seek and to save that which was lost. So if Jesus Christ is worried about lost people and we as Christians should be Christ-like, then we should be worried about and consumed with leading lost people to Jesus as well. So where is it that we see plainly Jesus prayed for unbelievers? It's real simple, on the cross of Calvary. He's hanging there on the cross. He's being crucified for the sins of mankind. And what does he do? He doesn't beg for God to get him off the cross. He doesn't ask God to punish those that put him on the cross. What does he do, church? He prays for them. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let me remind us all here today that the Bible does not indicate that all or even many of those whose forgiveness he prayed actually received it, but we do know, thank God, that there was one listening to the right of him that accepted Jesus Christ. The thief that was hanging on the cross, to the Lord's right, he responded to the grace of God, and he called out for Christ to save him. And what did Jesus say to that man that is now saved? He said, today, hallelujah, thou shalt be with me in paradise. So why pray for the lost? Because Jesus did. Enough said, amen? Here's another reason to pray for the lost. Because Paul, the Apostle Paul, professed it. You look at Romans 10:1, very familiar. Paul pleads for his fellow Jews to be saved. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel that they might be saved. So Paul's desire for the salvation of his fellow countrymen led him to pray for their salvation. And are you aware of how earnestly Paul prayed? He talks about it in Romans 9. Look at what he says, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow. He's saddened by those who are not saved. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the faith. So here's what Paul is saying. I'm so burdened as a Christian over my Jewish brothers and sisters that are not with Christ, that are without Christ, that I would be willing to give up my salvation to go to hell if it meant that all of them would be saved. Do you have that passion? I don't know if I have that passion. You know why? Because sometimes I'll pray for the lost, but when the lost does me wrong, it's hard for me to pray for him, Paul. Paul says, I love them. I want them to be saved. They mean something to me. Don't miss what he's saying here. He is speaking emotionally. He's not speaking theologically because he can't speak theologically. It's impossible to speak theologically because I can't give someone my salvation. So what Paul is saying was that he had such a deep burden and an unconditional love for lost people that he'd do anything for them to accept Christ. Listen to what D.L. Moody said. If you are going to be a winner of souls, you must first be a weeper of souls. So look at this here. We, like Paul, have to have a deep burden for those who do not know Jesus Christ.
When is the last time that tears filled your eyes as you pleaded before God that someone you love would be saved? I'm going to tell you what's going to get it done. Tears at an altar. You hear me? That's what's going to get it done. We can give money to people and things. You know what? Lost people give money to people and things. We can give someone a ride somewhere. Lost people give someone a ride somewhere. And most of them are richer than you and I. Say amen right there if you can. But what does the world not do? They don't weep. Huh? They may weep because they lost a fortune. They may weep over political things. They may weep because they didn't get their way. But you don't see lost people weeping over someone else because they didn't accept Christ. And what have we begun to do? We've begun to be just like them. Oh, we'll come and raise a hand and say amen. And I'm fine with that. It's all about praising and worshiping the Lord and giving Him glory for the prayers that He's answered. You know, God's answered three massive prayers this week, and I cried and was happy about it all week. But when's the last time we had tears of sorrow for someone we loved that was lost? I was riding on a tractor this week. And I thought to myself this, it's sad in this day and age that we live in that men and women will weep when their little pet gets run over on the street, but they will not weep for that lost person that lives across the street from them. It's sad to think that a mother and father, when their daughter walks down the aisle in marriage, will cry, but they will not cry over that daughter being lost. Founder of Salvation Army was General William Booth. Some of his workers of the Salvation Army, they went into an extremely tough American neighborhood city, and after working for several weeks, they said, "It just will not work, General Booth. We've tried everything. The gospel is not being received whatsoever." That sounds like the day and age we're in, doesn't it? And then they telegraphed to him, he telegraphed back two words, and it was this: try tears. Church, do you have a family member, a co-worker, a close friend? Do you have a student church member that sits next to you in class? Do you have a neighbor who doesn't know Jesus Christ and you think you've tried everything? My question to you today is this: have you tried tears? Weeping, crying. Hurt over someone you know that if their life doesn't change, they will spend eternity separated from Jesus Christ. Have you tried tears? Have you asked God to break your heart for what burdens His? Have you come to an altar and wept over someone you loved that is lost? Why pray for the lost? Because Jesus did. Why are we to pray for the lost? Because Paul acknowledged it. Number three, because the Bible affirms it. In other words, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I want you to listen to this close. They'll have it on the screen. I'm going to read this real slow. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, number one, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for who? All men. All mankind. For kings and for all that are in authority. That's a tough one, isn't it? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Here it is. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. So Paul says we should be praying all kinds of prayers for all kinds of people. So
So the goal of the prayers that Paul is urging you and I, the Christian, to pray is for everybody to be saved. Why? Because that is what pleases God. The Bible says in 2 Peter, we'll look at it a little bit later, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So he wants and desires all people to be saved. That's why lost people aren't my enemy. It's an opportunity to show them the love of Christ, and if they will accept Christ, God is pleased. Adrian Rogers said it best. He said, we spend more time praying for the saved who are sick than for the unsaved that are lost. We spend more time trying to keep the saints out of heaven than the lost out of hell. Evangelistic praying is commanded in Scripture. Fourth thing, we're moving along. Why do we need to pray for the lost? Because Jesus did. Because Paul acknowledged it. Because Scripture affirms it. And last on this point, because mankind needs it. I want to give you a few things here. They'll put them up on the screen. Because mankind needs it, there are a few things the Bible says about people who are lost. Look at them there. Bible says that they're blind, 2 Corinthians 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. So the devil has blinded those people and they cannot understand what it means to be saved or why you live the Christian life. It's not that they won't accept Christ. They can't. They can't see it. The second thing is they are captive. 2 Timothy talks about that. He says that they can't come to their senses and they're trying to escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive. And then look at the third thing. They're condemned. John 3:18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him is what? Condemned already. And they're spiritually dead. Ephesians 2 says we are dead in our trespasses and sin. This is for lost people. And the third one's the tough one for me. Right now, if you're lost, you're bound for hell. Sean, that's offensive. No, that's Bible. That's the Word of God. And that's why I'm telling you the truth. I don't want anybody to go there. Second part of John 3:36. Whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's wrath remains on them. So a whole sermon could be preached. If you're a preacher in this church, there's your sermon series. There's your Sunday school series. Right there. You could take forever on these issues, but I want to lay it out here, and they'll put that there. Listen, here's what the Bible says about a lost individual. They're blind, but they think they can see. They're dead, but they think they're alive. They're captive, but they think they're free. They're helpless, but they think they can do anything. Anybody know somebody like that? They're without understanding, but they think they know everything. My wife ought to say amen to me right there. They are bound for hell, but they think they're going to heaven. That's where we are. We're Christians saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. But we're universalists in our actions because lost people are around us every day and we don't even acknowledge to tell them about Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this. If someone's lost, what can we say to a dead person? The dead can't hear, can they? They can't talk. They can't understand. They can't walk. They can't think. They can't feel. The dead can't do anything except what? Be dead. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is talking about. You might as well tell a corpse to drive you to church as to tell a spiritually dead person that they need to be saved. Now, because they are physically alive, they hear the words that are being said. But because they are spiritually dead, those words make no sense to them whatsoever.
So the lost literally have no idea sometimes what we're talking about. Because they're blind and they cannot see the truth. That's why a lot of times when you talk to a lost person, you can talk to them till you're blue in the face, and guess what? It does no good. Stay with me here. You can quote every preacher you've ever heard. You can quote Billy Graham. You can read Warren Wiersbe. And you can quote S.M. Lockridge or W.A. Criswell. Listen, you can get creative, young people, and throw a Tim Tebow in there as well. But it will do no good. You can quote Scripture till the cows come home. And the lost will still be lost. Stay with me. I know what you're thinking right now. At this point, you're saying, well, why pray and share the gospel? Why even try, Sean? You just told us they're not listening. They're dead spiritually. You're missing the message. I'm saying the condition of the lost is hopeless. Here it is, without divine intervention from God Almighty. So what's the answer? The answer is we must pray, church. We must pray, God, open their eyes. We must shed a tear and say, God, make alive what is dead. Lord, enable them to hear. God, create within them an understanding or a hunger to want to know more about your saving grace. You see, before you can do the work of an evangelist, we must first fervently pray that God goes before us. That's the key. Sean, they can't hear. They go, I don't even know. Try. No, have you prayed before you have dealt with someone about accepting Jesus Christ? Lord, give me the words to say. God, go before me and you set the stage. I'll never forget it. There's like three people in a week that I went and witnessed to in the hospital, and I'm flying up the elevator, Barb, and I'm wondering, okay, how do I even have this conversation? I've never met them before. This is kind of awkward, Lord. What do I do? And when I open the door and I go in the room, they're crying saying, tell me how to be saved. That's what God going before us does. And when we pray for the lost, we're saying to God, Lord, you go first. And if you don't, everything I try to do is going to be in vain.
Thanks for joining us this morning. We hope you have been challenged, inspired, and found hope in today's message from Pastor Sean. If you have questions about our church, we hope you will reach out to us at canaanland.church. If you join us at the church for our weekly service, please make sure to say hello to Pastor Sean, and we look forward to seeing you soon.